You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Catherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
Well, you're sounding better. Still not feeling 100%.
I feel 1,000,000% better than I did. But yeah, it was rough. I don't remember being that sick for a long time.
Sorry.
It's okay. I either had COVID or the flu. I didn't have a test and they are basically the same, but Tanya, I love that Prevnax. It's kept me from getting sick a lot, but it is not a booster shot. Lesson learned.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you buried under snow?
And it's just cold. I was walking to the gym earlier and was like, this is when it's ugly, because you know the snow's been on the ground now for a couple days, and like the places that the sidewalks didn't get shoveled have become like nasty to walk on because it's like frozen ice. It's just awful. It was -7 degrees here this morning. That was the temperature, and then the real feel had it like -30 something. And Mingus, bless his heart, he absolutely hates it. The only good thing is like he knows how cold it is. Like you have to carry him past the, like he'll pee right outside the door. Like he's like, I'm ready to get this done. Just so you have to carry him away so he doesn't pee like right at the door. He's just like, he doesn't mess around. Like there's no with his potty breaks. It's ridiculous. Cause he's just like, no. And then he does this funny walk. And I did the booties and they fell off. And anyway, he and I are both. Yeah. Yeah. Rebecca Rush and her pups had sent him a DNA test to do. So Angus took the DNA test and he's like 22% Chihuahua. He's like full mutt. I mean, there's like 11 breeds in that dog and the highest percentage is 22. So it gives you an indication.
That's funny. I should just saw your DNA test.
Yeah. I wouldn't have ever done it, but having that come in as a gift was really fun. Cause you know, And he's definitely got a lot of terrier in him, which I like, So, but he's really smart.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm Sawyer. This is a dog show, not a gravel show anymore, folks. Sorry. Oh, there he is.
Speaking of Sawyer, there he went. Yeah. Last week, cause I was sick and he's like, I had started taking him for runs and he's been getting long walks and so like I could barely see. This is when he walks himself around the couch because he's ready to go for a walk.
That's so cute.
And so he destroyed a book, two pillows, and a blanket. He was like, I'm bored. Nope, there he goes again.
Yeah, he's pacing. This guy has not destroyed anything. Knock on wood.
He was just like not happy that he was getting so little attention and he was bored. So,
yeah.
But anyway, he's doing well. He's going to go to doggy boot camp next month to work on some of his anxiety he's got. But the poor little guy, he was in a shelter for over 2 years. So,
yeah,
he's still getting there.
He needs a break. He's getting a break. So, well, we have a super fun returning guest today.
I know. I can't believe that it's been so long since we had her,
I know,
like actually on the show, because I feel like every time I don't know then I have such a fun conversation with her.
Yeah. But we've got Lauren DeCrescenzo, LDC, visiting us today. And we get to catch up with her and talk about what she's got going on for 2024 and a little bit of a wrap up from 2023. And
And the Call of a Lifetime. That's going to be coming out on Friday,
January 26th.
So if you've got nothing going on Friday night, just some popcorn, get ready to watch it.
You can binge it. So that's what I'll be doing.
All right. Well, we will get on to our interview with Lauren.
Hey all, it's your editor, Lindsay here. I want you to get ready to ante up for the Ultimate Gravel Challenge this summer. Join us at the 2024 Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, where adventure awaits in the breathtaking Canadian Rockies. Experience the thrill of a unique 3-day stage race surrounded by stunning scenery on secluded gravel roads in the British Columbia backcountry. With two distance options, the full pint or half pint distances, there's a challenge for every level of rider. And forget about logistics, Trans Rockies has you covered. Fully supported with tents, meals, aid stations, technical support, and even massage services, so all you have to do is focus on the ride. You'll stay at the picturesque Nipica Mountain Resort, nestled in the heart of the Rockies, and celebrate your achievements with daily podium awards, group dinner, and custom design memorabilia. After the ride, you can unwind at Chillville with cold refreshments, music, games, and camaraderie with your fellow riders. Don't miss out on this epic adventure. Register now at transrockiesgravelroyale.com and use the code GGG24GR100 to save $100 off your entry. The link and discount codes will be in the show notes of this episode. Embrace the challenge, conquer the gravel, and create memories that will last a lifetime. So go all in with us for Trans Rockies Gravel Royale this August.
So I wonder if we give this clue, I still want to win everything, if everybody can figure out who we have on our show today.
I love that was the last thing she said before we hit the record button.
Who could it be, guys?
Who could it be? I love it.
All right. Well, if you don't know who it is, we have Lauren de Crescenza. Crescenza.
LDC. LDC.
I give up.
Much easier.
LDC. Although, the funny thing is, I always switch that too, and I'm like, LCD. And you're like, it's not that.
Catherine can't even get the initials right.
I can't even get the initials.
Oh, sure, you have had several concussions, Catherine. Maybe that explains it.
Good segue.
It could be. Well, Lauren is a repeat guest. You could kind of say she's a multiple repeat guest because we always try to chase her down at events and get a little interview snippet. But we first had Lauren on way back before you even won Unbound.
Yeah.
Lauren, it was
way back.
Early days. So probably 2020, probably sometime in 2020.
Yeah, I think so.
Or early 2021.
Like it was like at the heat of the pandemic. Yeah. So I think, yeah, 2021, right before, no, 2020. I don't know. When was COVID? I don't know. One of those years.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
No one knows. It was either like 20 years ago or it was like last year. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
So we do have that episode. You can go back and listen to Lauren's full story, but just, I wanted you to give people, if they haven't ever heard your story before, or if they're new to the podcast in the last 3 years, a little bit of overview of who you are and like how you got into cycling. And then what brought you to, you've had a lot of success in the last few years.
Yeah. So where to start? My very first race, I was 17, or how was it? I started riding when I was 17. My first race, I was 20. I did the pro road thing for a few years out of college. I went to Emory down here in Atlanta, where I am right now. Yeah, I decided that the best thing to do with my degree was to pursue professional cycling. And, you know, I was like doing the road thing, living the proverbial dream. And until, you know, I had a really, really severe traumatic brain injury at a road race when I was in 2016 at San Dimas. At the finish line, I was life flighted like out of the race and spent the next 3 weeks the ICU, then was airlifted again to a rehab center in Colorado, Craig Hospital, where I spent 2 months recovering. And it was during this time I was like, I'm never riding my bike again. I hate this. This is horrible. Like, I can't do this. And that didn't last for too long. When I when I got out of the hospital, I started applying to graduate school in epidemiology, and I thought I was finally going to do like my big girl career, and my cycling days were over. So I got my epidemiology Master's of Public Health degree, got a fellowship at the Centers for Disease Control, and that was in 2019. Upon 6 months after my job at the CDC, the pandemic started, happens. It was a good timing, bad timing, I don't know. But yeah, then the world shut down and everything, and I had just been getting into this whole new gravel. Well, after my crash and everything, I got into gravel. I thought it was like a safer way to get back into the sport. The dirt's a softer landing place. If you crash, there's no cars, you're usually going a little slower. So I thought it was like a good way to get back into cycling. So, but then during the pandemic, I was so bored. So I just rode like all day. I had been riding, and yeah, I was riding a lot, like crazy, crazy rides. That's when I set the Everesting world record. That was my other podcast, the other podcast I was on with Girls Gone Gravel was after that world record. Regretted the 24 time. Well, it was great. It was very painful, but yeah, did the Everesting world record, had that for 5 days. That was awesome. And I was
But you
actually on
did have it
another
at one time, and
yeah
that's what
oh
matters.
yeah yeah 5 day a 5 day world record holder. And after that, I was actually on I was invited to do a podcast with Cinch. After there was another really horrible crash at a race in Poland, and it was very similar to my crash in 2016. So we talked about that, and following that podcast, they were starting a new team, and they asked me to be on the team. And I was just like working my jobby job, and had this opportunity to race again and do some gravel. And I said, oh, sure, why not? So started training, structured training, and started doing some more like road races again. And then I went to Unbound. And then I won Unbound and gave Christy a big hug at the finish line. And it was amazing. And I don't think I realized the gravity of that until like years later. Because as I was driving home from, or driving back from the course or whatever, driving home, I remember my friend Ike just said, "Lauren, your life's about to change." And I was like, "What are you talking about? I'm going to work on Monday. Like nothing changed. Nothing. Like this is just another bike race." But I was submitting my virtual resignation to the CDC pretty soon thereafter, and yeah, went to some more gravel races. Yeah, some more big wins: SBT, the Rad, Mid South, and yeah, I was doing lots more gravel. But yeah, just recently ended my contract with Cinch, January 1st. I am now a privateer, and it's pretty fun. Being I'm calling myself a
I
pirateer.
love
Like a
it.
pirate. Yeah. I'm a pirate now. So yeah, just doing my own thing, and it's been great. I'm gonna be able to I'm really leaning into like nonprofit work with the traumatic brain injury nonprofits. I'm doing some work with Love Your Brain and with the Craig Foundation in Colorado. And yeah, 2 weeks into being a privateer has been awesome. So here we are.
Good
It's
deal.
as brief as I could make my cycling story.
That's pretty good.
It's just been part of my life for, I don't
Well,
know.
those organizations that you're working with, can you tell us a little bit more about them and the work that they do? I'm curious on that.
Yeah, so the Love Your Brain Foundation, it was started by the Pierce family. Kevin Pierce was a professional snowboarder, and he had his own very, very severe traumatic brain injury, and also recovered at Craig Hospital, where I recovered on the third floor. Maybe the same room, not sure. But his family started the foundation, and they offer like yoga and meditation retreats Free of cost for people who have recently like suffered traumatic brain injuries, who are recovering from that. And yeah, just spreading awareness is like one of their goals, and yeah, being available for people in recovery. And the Craig Foundation, it's like the nonprofit for Craig Hospital, and they also offer a lot of support for recent TBI recoverers, survivors. They offer scholarships for people going back to school. I was awarded a scholarship from them when I went to graduate school, which was great. I actually raised money for the Craig Foundation when I Everest did, and it was during the middle of the pandemic, and it was for iPads. I was raising money for iPads because when you're in the hospital, like they couldn't, like families couldn't come visit them, or couldn't come visit, like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
And, yeah. So I was like on a, every lap I did up it, I was like one more iPad. So just like raising money for things like inpatients, outpatients, just for like whatever they need, offering like different retreats for them as well. Cause it takes a lot. It takes a whole village to recover from one of these things. And they were there for me when I needed it most. So now I just want to do the same for people who need help now. More iPads for everyone.
More iPads. I like it.
It was a pandemic thing, you know, more iPads.
I'm curious. I can't remember if we talked about this last time, but are there still effects that you notice from your traumatic brain injury?
Yeah, I would say nothing like I did. I say it took me about 2 years to like get back to where I was. And I feel like going to graduate school really helped with that, like the just studying. But I do notice, the only thing I really notice now is just like my processing speed, like taking on mountain biking has been rather challenging. I've been using this app on my phone, Brain HQ, and it just helps with like the motor processing speed and reaction time and like the finer things going on in there. So, I mean, I've noticed it's just not quite as fast as I would like it to be. But I'd say overall, like I don't have any issues like balancing or, yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty good. I don't
really brave when you took on the Grand Prix last year. I mean, you didn't participate the first year.
That's too scary.
There was the mountain biking piece in there, and that's not something that LDC necessarily did at the time, but now does. That process, I'm curious, like, how did you approach it and how did you kind of gear yourself up for it? Because I know you were scared and yet you still managed to navigate it.
Right. Yeah. Taking on mountain biking was kind of, it was a very big step in like my TBI recovery because I was so scared of crashing again, like doing something I'd never done before, where you have a high propensity for crashing, like mountain biking. that was huge. I think that, I mean, just really like giving myself time to improve. I mean, Sea Otter, I think I was 24th, and then Schwamigan, I was 10th, Leadville 13th. So I just needed to like really take a step back and be like, okay, you are getting better. Like these things take time. Like I was still, I think what I had to realize last year was like, I can't rush things and I just need to be like cool and confident and like, I'm getting better, maybe not the best, but it's clicking slowly. It's slowly clicking. But yeah, I mean, just being like, I don't know, gracious with myself and like knowing I was doing everything I could to get better. And just not being afraid of crashing again. And I've gotten a lot better at crashing, knock on wood. I feel like if I go on a mountain bike ride now and I don't like at least tip over at least once, then maybe I'm not learning. So just being okay with like the tip overs and just like getting better at, you know, picking myself up and not being like, I remember when I first started mountain biking, and if I would crash, I would be like, oh my, I would be like looking at my helmet and I'd want to go home. And like, I didn't like it for that. But now I'm just cool, and I don't hit my head first. I'm just getting a lot better at managing that also.
A question that can stay here.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I
Okay.
like it. Yeah, I think it's, I like it. I like it because if I'm just gonna go out for a ride now, I wanna go mountain biking. Like the road's so
Really?
boring. Yeah, the road's boring. Yeah. And then I see myself improving like every ride. So I'm like, oh, this is like, I don't see massive improvements on the road ride or anything
Sure.
like that. Yeah. So it's like being new all, it's all over again, getting better every ride.
That's cool.
And it's more fun because it's more engaging. Like you can really just like turn off when you're on the road. There's sometimes even on the gravel, because it's just like very like continuous and monotonous. Sometimes on the mountain bike, you have to be like very like in the moment. And I like that because you can forget about all the other stuff and just be like very tuned in. So yeah, mountain biking's fun.
This is like, I
I
don't know.
yeah, I don't know. Well, I like personally, like the monotony on the gravel is where my brain will shut off finally. It's like, to me, it's like, okay, like I spin through all the stuff and then it stops and then I'm there. But like the mountain biking, I think it would just like, I'd just always be, my brain would just always be firing at me. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I have a really nice mountain bike. With like 500 miles on it, maybe.
There's a lot of mountain bike trails in Kansas, I always say.
Yeah, there's that's part of the rub is that it's just not super attainable here because there just aren't a lot of trails. So, but yeah, I'm glad you like it though, because I was like, that was like, what if she hates this and she's just
No, I don't
keeps
hate
going.
it. No, what I like, mountain biking got a lot better when I got a full suspension with a dropper post. My Lando, yeah, XC. It's been a much smoother ride. When I first started, I was like trying to do the hardtail, and it wasn't good for someone learning.
Right.
I just needed more the bike to be more forgiving, and
Yeah.
yeah, full suspension definitely.
You wanted the bike to work with you a bit more than against you, so.
Yeah.
Well, and the
Yeah.
good news is being in Georgia, like there's a lot of technical stuff. So once you get out into the, like a lot of the Grand Prix isn't really technical. So you learn all the hard stuff.
I went mountain biking yesterday and I was like, well, good thing there's nothing like this in the Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's that whole Appalachia roots and rocks and
It's going
all
over
kinds of.
roots, like all these rock faces, and I'm like, good thing there's none of this in Leadville or wherever. Yeah.
That would be the half the field would just like drop off a rock.
I know.
You all
Yeah, so
did not
we're
see
good.
the look on Christine's face.
I know.
Okay, I have a quick, this might be a dumb question, but is a traumatic brain injury, would that just be considered a really bad like concussion, or is it, what characterizes as a traumatic brain injury over a concussion?
Oh, I love this question. So, a concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
So, yeah, still a traumatic brain injury, but what I experienced was it was a severe traumatic brain injury. I had bleeding inside my brain. So, the second you do that, it becomes very severe when you're bleeding internally. And like they rate it like on the Gaslow Coma Scale. I think I had a score of 10. I have to ask Jim. Hey, Jim. My husband's an ER doctor. But yeah, I had internal bleeding, so making it severe and like, swelling in the brain, and I was in a coma for 6 days. So it's just like this, the scale, it's all on a scale, a spectrum of the severity. Yeah.
There's been a lot of research recently about the concussion impacts women differently than men. So it is like harder to catch oftentimes in women, and like the symptoms can go on longer for women than men. Do you know if that's the same? I mean, obviously you're going to catch a traumatic brain injury right away, but do you know if like some of it presents differently in women than men and traumatic brain injury as well.
I'm not as familiar with like the differences between like men and women and like the symptoms. I'm familiar with the
Well,
symptoms I
it's not there most
experience.
doctors,
Tell me
unfortunately.
about the, yeah, what's the latest research on the gender differences are.
Would have to look it back up. We just did a post on it because they one of our coworkers, she actually writes our women's sports newsletter, and she got a concussion, and every doctor wrote her off. They're like, it's not a concussion, you're fine. And
Well,
then come to
it's
find
kind of
out, it
common
was like a lot of the way it presents in women, like men, their symptoms show up right away, and women's will show up later and they'll last longer. And it can be more things like related, I think, to brain fog and lack of concentration,
Right.
fatigue for women, where men will have the like almost the immediate like being out of it, like those things, and then it recovers more quickly. So it is interesting because, you know, like you can like really, you can fall hard and not even hit your head, just jar your brain, you know,
Right.
and you could end up with a slight concussion, and often it won't show up for women. So
Yeah, and it's sometimes really hard to even diagnose a concussion. Like when they diagnosed my severe concussion, it was a see they do it with the CT scan to see like the bleeding, but like you can't see it in a CT scan really. So yeah, it's all like yeah, like mostly symptoms, I think. Yeah, they've had a hard time diagnosing. At least
yeah.
with me, I've had a hard time diagnosing my own concussions. Like you have to like there's like apps on your phone where you have like the pre and the post, and you can look for differences like in your reaction time and things like that. But yeah, it's often hard to diagnose concussions, at least
Yeah.
in the emergency room.
I'm just glad we're kind of moving away from the attitude of rub some dirt on it. You know,
Oh yeah. We're not there.
that's
It's
that
fine. Your bones
one's
are okay.
everything looks great. You look normal. Get up and go, you know, but you're
Oh
looking.
no, we're very much past that. I mean, I am like totally stoked. Like I think I broke my collarbone at one of these races sometime. But my helmet was okay, and I was like, oh, I'm totally fine. I was totally okay with the broken bone is fine, but when you hit your head, you like it's a whole thing.
Yep.
Bones
Yeah.
heal. Your brain is a question mark.
Yeah.
Because
Is
everyone's
it?
differently. Everyone has a different experience, and you don't want to find out what that experience is like for yourself.
Right.
Is your risk higher from having a TBI? Like if you hit your
Yeah.
head?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a higher likelihood of like a severe traumatic brain injury again. I remember when I was discharged from the rehab center, my doctor was like telling my parents, like, don't let her ride her, and not don't let her ride again, but like don't like she can't hit her head like this again. Like it will be like catastrophic. So just yeah, wearing a good helmet and just doing all the safe. I mean, I'm not gonna not ride because I love riding my bike and racing my bike. So I'll obviously continue doing that. But yeah, just being much. As careful as I can be and as safe as I can be while still enjoying my life.
How do you handle the like it's getting more aggressive, the pack tactics are getting, the starts are getting more aggressive, all that. How do you handle that with your background?
Yeah, actually, what I've really loved about the starts and the Lifetime Grand Prix is that and now this year we get our own start at every single race. And that has helped me hugely, like with the fear of like being in the Peloton and like crashing, because like now I'm in a field of women of like similar ability and fitness level to me, and not just with like everyone who shows up for Unbound. Like
Yeah.
it's like yeah, it's I like that because I'm used to being like in a Peloton coming from road, like a women's Peloton. So I think that has helped, and I think it's safer as being with people who are like your same skill and like fitness level. So yeah, that's been great. It's been the separate starts.
Yeah. I like that. Okay, the other thing I wanted to ask you about racing is you are known to be the person to chase people down. Like you just
Trying to get
have
away
this
from that.
engine that it's like if Lauren's within so far of you, you better be careful because she's probably coming for you.
I love that. I'm like,
I
yeah,
will.
LDC's right there. They're done.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not do that. I need to get to the point where I'm already away.
But why not? It's a better racing, right?
And
Like
we love it.
this is more exciting. I just want to
More
keep it
fun for us.
exciting.
Yeah. But I imagine obviously you would probably prefer to be out front. What's the
Yes.
mindset when you're like, okay, I'm 20 minutes down or a flat? What was the race where you had like a bunch of flats you came and chased everybody down? Like,
Exactly.
how do you get in
Yeah.
that mindset of like, let's fucking go. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going there right now in my head. Well, a place I often like to go is, you've been through way harder shit than this. Like, this is just a bike race. This is you. How much money did you spend to come here? Or like, how much it, like, you chose to do this. Like, people enter lotteries to do this. Like, this is an opportunity. Like, don't waste this opportunity, Lauren. Like, yeah, you've been through way harder things than this. You got through a re you have spent 2 months in a rehab center. Like, this is just like temporary pain. This won't last. Like, I think diff for me, always like differentiating between pain and suffering has really helped me. Because, like, what I experienced with my traumatic brain injury, for me, that was suffering. I never knew when that would end. I was like, okay, another day. Hopefully, I'm better today. Whereas with bike racing, I'm like, oh, I just have what, 100 more miles to go? No big deal. That's fine. That'll be over soon enough. And then, yeah, just going there and just like, knowing that I've done all the ride, all the training and made all the preparations. And there's a lot that goes in. There's so much more that goes in before you get to race day, in terms of like preparation and training, that just like relying or just like, knowing that I've done all those things to the best of my ability and knowing that it's not that hard, not that bad compared to other things.
I've
Yeah,
always
but
said,
really.
I've had other people come up and tell me that because of your TBI, you have no pain receptors.
Yes, that's a rumor. I love that.
I'm like, that doesn't, how does that work? But
No, I still experience a lot of pain,
you
but it's
just know
just
how to
how
process it
I,
better.
yeah, it's just how I think about it. It's like it's just a different experience having gone through something much worse. And I'm like, whatever, it's fine. It's fine.
A little
I
pain
have a
in my
much
legs.
greater, yeah, I have a much greater pain tolerance,
There you
maybe.
go. Yeah.
I think there's been some research on like, yeah, people following traumatic brain injuries, like how, yeah, their relationship with pain.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It's something, yeah, it really enhanced my bike race.
It's one of my favorite rumors whenever I hear it. I'm like,
I love that rumor. Like I when people come up to me in races and we're like, is it true, Lauren? Like the guys. Just like
you should be like, yes, yes it is.
yes.
Get out of my way.
What is pain?
What is this pain you speak of? I'm not familiar.
unfortunately, I'm too familiar, but
Yeah, if
it's
anybody has seen you at a finish line when you've put it all out there.
Yeah, I've seen some really nasty LDC faces at the finish.
Oh
I think I even yelled at
yeah. That's me. You put it all out
Tommy D one time. I was like, clean her up. Give
there.
me that handkerchief. All these cameras are there. And I'm like, she has just gone through everything to get here. And, I mean, everybody's there with their camera. And you got to get the good ones, but then you also need some of you like smiling, looking.
Oh yeah, the good ones. But I mean, I just love that feeling of just like turning yourself inside out and then just looking like that. I mean, like, hey guys, look at what just happened out there.
Proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well,
There's nothing like that feeling. Nothing like it.
this may be a little controversial to bring up, and we can take it out if you don't want to talk about it, but like you have been criticized sometimes at a finish line. People are like, oh, she's not friendly at the finish line. And like seeing you, I'm like, well, she's put it all out there. And usually it just takes you a little bit more, longer to recover than I think I see most people. That takes them to recover. Would you say that's the case?
Oh, I didn't know if you
I
I
don't
mean,
think I find that true at
you've been
all.
with people
That's,
saying, what are you
well,
saying?
just like,
I'm
oh,
not
so and so's not smiling. Like, it's not
No,
just you.
well.
I've heard that about other women too, which drives me bananas, right? Because we haven't ever said that about any of the guys.
No,
But
never.
I do, because you're such a prominent racer. I do think
Yeah.
so, and I'm like, if you've ever seen Lauren come through a finish line, she's just put herself out there. Like, she is.
I just went through some stuff, you know, and I haven't bounced back quite yet. I
Give me a minute.
just need a minute. I just need a minute after, I mean, after an effort like that, you just need a second. Maybe a few seconds. You just need to, yeah, just
Yeah, I
move
just think it's
off.
like interesting because there's a lot of criticism that goes around the way the women act in every situation, the bike
Literally every
racing.
situation. It's not just bike racing. Yeah. It's not bike racing. Off the bike, I'm very like happy go lucky. Yeah, everything's great. But yeah, when I'm racing, like it's an
It's your
opportunity. Well,
job.
it's like it's my job, yes. And it's just like an outlet. It's still like an outlet for me to just like, you know, just go places I don't go in my everyday life. Except for when I'm training, of course. Yeah. But I can go
Well,
there.
you did switch coaches this year, and I think it's been pretty recent, but what are you seeing different in your training with new coaching?
Yeah, so I just started working with one of my friends, yeah, who works at Fast Cat, and it's been great. We've really taken a big picture look at the season ahead, and we're like planning things very methodically of like when I'm going to be, you know, in prime condition and like when I'm going to be like tapering and all those things. And it's been great. He's actually, we went mountain biking yesterday. He's a really good mountain biker. He was the elite national champion for mountain biking. So he was just like giving me some, you know, some really good mountain bike tips and tricks and yeah, getting after it.
That's
And
awesome.
yeah, it's a very, and we've been friends for years, and it's just been a very different kind of approach this year. So I don't know. We'll see when I start racing.
I love it. And will Mid South be your kickoff?
Yeah, that'll be the real kickoff, the first big race. I'm also going to do Border Wars, which is that race in
Oh,
Alabama
yeah.
and
Alabama
Georgia.
and Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard lots of good. It's
Fun.
in February, right? Yeah.
February 24th, I think.
Nice, yeah.
I mean, any ride. Yeah, I'm just excited to go into Alabama, and I don't know. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's nearby.
Yes, it is very people were talking about it in this text message group that I'm on. Well, we also know that you are one of the huh?
Oh, sorry. Are you going to be there?
No, I'm
Oh.
not. It's a far away from Washington now.
Oh, duh, of course. Yeah.
But I bet a bunch of my Atlanta friends will be there. But you also are one of the athletes that is featured in the is it called Call of a Lifetime again this year, Christy? What's the time?
Yeah. Yep. Call of a Lifetime dropping on January
26th.
26th. Yep.
Yeah.
I've got so many dates in my head right now, it's not even funny. And they don't make any sense to me. I'm like, how, wait, we're in January?
You know, I've just been really excited about the Call of a Lifetime. So the 26th.
Yes,
haven't
January
seen
26th.
it. I have no, I haven't seen it yet. So
I was going to ask if you've seen it. What was it like to have a camera crew kind of following your journey last year?
I really liked it. I liked some of the interviews that we did. They gave me some like very some very hard-hitting questions, like because we talked a lot about my traumatic brain injury and, you know, mountain biking. Like, it was crazy. It was a crazy journey doing some interviews at Sea Otter, like just being like scared out of my mind. And yeah, it was cool to like have them kind of follow along for the whole season and just like see the progression at each race. Yeah. I'm
Yeah.
excited to see. I hope I don't regret anything that I said. I
It's out there, or it's going to be out there.
Oh no.
Yeah, I Mason has sent me some of the clips of it, and I have not watched it. I'm like, I'm just gonna wait this year and watch it along with everyone else. So I'm excited to see it. But yeah.
It was pretty binge-worthy last year. Do you feel like the like being a part of the Grand Prix? I mean, obviously you've had a very successful few years of bike racing. And compared to your seasons, like last year was not one of your top seasons, but you were a part of this like, big series. Was that like, did you see the benefits from that, like as far as just your audience and your fans?
Yeah, I thought it was really great for like just the coverage and the media, the following us. And I would have been doing all those races anyway, most likely. No, being part of the, yeah, I think it's great. Like it's the premier off-road series in the US, and just like the coverage is just so good, and my whole family can just follow along and see all the like a lot, all the videos and interviews. And yeah, it was great. And I don't know, last year wasn't my best year, but I was still able to eke out a fifth place in the overall
Yeah,
by
I still did that
fine.
statement there. I'm like, wait. I mean, it might not have been her best year, but it was a really good year. Like,
Was still like a good, yeah, it ended up being all right. It
a
was
new
great.
mountain biker over like that you did it to overcome your fear of mountain biking and you came in fifth.
I think I started out after Sea Otter and Unbound. I was in like 32nd place.
This is laughing with you, not at you.
It's funny. I was
You're like, oh shit, what did I sign up for? Get me to
like,
the gravel. Get me to the gravel. And then Unbound.
Did you finish Unbound? I can't remember. Was it a, did you have
No,
a
no.
mechanical?
Yeah, I ripped off my derailleur, just single speeded
Okay.
it for a long time, flatted a few
I'm
times.
pretty
You know,
sure
the
I
mud,
tried not to talk.
that mud.
I'm pretty sure I tried not to talk to you at Unbound. I was like, I don't even want to see all these scenes. But yeah, because I know, I think you texted me like the night before, and I'm like, there's gonna be mud, there's gonna be walking. Like,
I know, I texted you. I was like, really, Chrissy, really? Because I saw the section that day and I was like, no way, no way we're doing this. So I'm hoping for a reroute next year if it's raining.
in your request to the new race director.
We are, we're going north, but that one road, oof.
That road's crazy.
Yeah,
Oh my
so
gosh. I like the north wind. I like it north though. The
well,
year I won was
that's
north.
where you won, was north.
It's chunkier.
It's chunkier,
It's much
but it's
chunkier.
like less likely to have mud, but there's still some spots that are bad. But yeah, it's not the big, it's not quite the big long sections of it. Like that one section's, that one's big, but
That section was great. That was like a 7 mile hike bike.
was it seven, it was three.
Yeah, it felt like seven. It felt like 7 miles, and we were all off our bikes just hiking. And
And it was
it does like
snowing,
seven
and it
when
was
you're
uphill
pushing.
both
And it was
ways.
snowing. Exactly.
It was snowing in June, yes.
It did. It was the day. I mean, like, honestly, having been around this event as long as I have, we've had a couple years where Kansas literally shows up and throws everything but the kitchen sink at you. And last year was one of those years where we had the wind and the rain, and it got cold and it got hot. And I was just like, this is, if you finished last year, you should be freaking proud, because
No.
I mean, I had trench foot from working at the finish line. It was just disgusting. Anyway,
Ooh,
but
I'm glad
so
you survived.
you've got Call of a Lifetime coming out, and then what are your predictions for your 2024 season? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm really excited about Redemption Unbound.
Good.
Yeah.
Great here.
Stoked to go north. And for hopefully this was the one, or last year was the rainy year. This can be this, because the year I won, it was like in the 90s.
That was
It was
hot.
hot. It was real hot that year, but I prefer the heat over like the torrential downpour. Definitely. I'd rather it be 95 degrees. So hoping for that. yeah, doing all the Grand Prix races, which I'm excited about all of those. I'm gonna be doing hopefully the World Championships in Belgium. Ho hopefully, if I'm so lucky to be selected. yes, I'm excited about that and the pro national championships in Nebraska. Be doing that again and looking at some races over in Europe, maybe get a little rift action.
Oh,
We'll do.
nice.
Yeah. Oh, and obviously SBT Mid-South, just very, I'm very familiar with almost every race I've done so far this year. So just trying to maybe add a few more, like the rifts. There's a rumor now that I'm doing Tour de Gila, so I might have to do it because there's a rumor.
Well, you don't feel pain, so you might as well do it.
Might as well. It'll be good unbound prep again. Yeah.
Amazing.
Love
And
yeah, but
then
I'm excited for that. I'm excited for all those events, and then especially for all the like really being able to like lean into my traumatic brain injury story and sharing that more this year.
yeah.
I
And
love
then
it.
you all have a big move coming this year too, right?
Yes, I'm so excited. Yes, we're moving from Atlanta to back to Colorado, where I'm from.
Oh,
Yeah.
good.
Jim
That's
is
awesome.
graduating. He's graduating residency on July 1st, and I'm counting down the days because we'll be leaving the night of July 1st to move back to Colorado.
You're not ready or anything.
No, I don't. I have like a countdown app on my phone that's counting down the days. It told me every
Guys,
day.
Atlanta's a good city too. Oh,
No, Atlanta's good. Atlanta, especially right now, it's like 2 degrees in Colorado, negative whatever. And it was 60 degrees here yesterday, so it's great. Yeah. But
it is
no,
not 60 degrees here. Ugh.
You'll be
I'm
going back
so
for
cold.
winter training camps in the future.
Probably it's Stone Mountain.
Oh,
Yeah.
God. Find better
I
places than that.
know. There are. But no, I'm excited to move back to Colorado. My whole family is from back in Colorado. Yeah,
Yeah, it
everyone's
makes
back
a big difference to be around family.
there. Yeah. So I'm excited to be back. Yeah. You're all the DeCrescenzos.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, where can people follow you and find more information about the things you're doing this year?
Yeah, so well, my Instagram obviously will keep everyone updated with what I'm doing every day, I guess. So yeah, at Lornissima. At Lornissima is like the most Lorniest. It's the Italian Lauren. Anyway, sorry. Maybe I'll re-record
The
that.
extreme.
The most extreme Lauren is Lornissima.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my Instagram. I'm going to be opening a Shopify store pretty soon here. I'll be trying to sell products to raise money for these foundations that we've been talking about, with brain logos and whatnot, some cycling attire and bottles and stuff with like, yeah, to raise awareness and raise some funds for organizations that really need the funds. So that'll open soon. And I don't know, Velo News. Sometimes I write things in Velo News because I just
Oh,
want to use that college education.
keep it
Yeah,
fresh.
I'm just trying
Nice.
to keep it fresh, the writing fresh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much
Oh,
for.
Strava. Follow me on Strava. I'm usually up to crazy things every day.
Oh, gosh. That's a good
I
tip.
know. Strava.
Follow Lauren Strava, see what training she's got going on.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us again. It's always really lovely to catch up to you and have a proper catch up, not a fast catch up at a
Yeah.
gravel event. So
Yeah,
thank you.
no. Yeah, it was great talking or catching with you guys so many years later, like after our first podcast years ago. This is very different vibe.
All right, Laura, well, we look forward to seeing what you do this season.
Yeah, I'm excited. I look forward to seeing you guys at every finish line. Maybe. Most of them. Some of them.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.